Hi everyone, welcome to our midweek study. And as we continue our study on the book of Exodus, we find ourselves in chapter 18. Chapter 18 na po tayo. But before we begin our study, manalangin po muna tayo. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that we can come before you in all humility and honesty, asking you to teach us, Lord. We pray that we would not treat this study as just another information that we would be adding to our heads, Lord, but we pray that this would transform our hearts, would motivate us, Lord, and encourage us to honor you and glorify you and appreciate you. And in humble gratitude, Lord, live for you. We thank you, Lord, that we're not merely looking at Old Testament narrative, Lord, or history, but we're looking at our own lives. Because we too, Lord, are, just like the Israelites, are in a journey called the Christian life. And we too, just like them, are headed to the promised land. And that is to be with you in all eternity, to worship you, to marvel your awesomeness and your greatness and your glory. And so, Lord, we pray, turuan niyo po kami ngayong gabi. Sana po, huwag niyo pong hayaan na anuman po ang pwedeng gumambala sa aming pag-aral ay manaig po. We pray that you would not let anything hinder us from studying and hearing from you. And we pray that indeed you would be taught wonderful truth from your word. Your word is truth. Maraming salamat po muli sa pangalan mo, Jesus. Ito ang dalangin. Amen at amen. So mga kapatid, as we are studying the book of Exodus, sabi po natin, we're not merely studying the Israelites. Kasi sabi po ni Pablo, nalala niyo po, and I've been mentioning this every now and then, si Pablo, when he was writing the church in Corinth, referring to the wilderness experience of the Israelites, said this, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now, these things happened to them as an example. Halimbawa daw po, ejemplo. But they were written down for our instructions, on whom the end of the age has come. So ano po ba natutunan natin so far? What have we learned so far? We've learned that God is a gracious and faithful God. Di po ba? Who would keep His promise to Abraham through His descendants, the Israelites. And nakita natin po yun. He heard the cry of His people and now He is rescuing them. In fact, sa ating context, na ating pag-aaral, as we are in chapter 18, He has rescued them. And He did that with His mighty right hand. Napaka makapangyarihan itong Diyos nating sinasamba. Right? And we've seen na napaka-gracious nitong Diyos na ito, napaka-patient. That even though this chosen nation whom He rescued would keep on grumbling and rebel against Him, He has provided for them, He has protected them. Nalala niyo po yung pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. Nalala niyo kung paano they passed through the Red Sea on dry ground, and that same Red Sea whom God was holding up to keep His people safe ay siya rin pong dagat na pumigil and destroyed the Egyptian army. And sabi natin, according to history, then probably the most powerful army in the ancient Near East. We've seen how God transformed the bitter water into sweet water in Marah. We've seen how God provided bread from heaven and meat for His people. Pero alam niyo po, nalala ko, nung nasa chapter 17 tayo, we were given a glimpse of a beautiful gospel presentation or gospel picture. Remember the nerve of the Israelites to take God into court? But we've seen, sabing ganun natin, it was God Himself who would present Himself as a replacement for the guilty Israelites. He was before the court and He was on the rock representing that He would be the rock, and this rock is the same rock that would be stricken so that water will be provided for the grumbling and rebellious nation. Sabi natin, that is a beautiful picture of what Christ did. In fact, sa 1 Corinthians pa rin po, verse 10, chapter 10, we notice how Paul said that Jesus was the rock. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. And he was referring to the same instance, situation na ating binasa in chapter 17. And now, as we continue with our study, sabi po natin, we can glean truths from this study in this wilderness experience. And sabi natin, what we see before us is God presenting to us essential elements in building a community of faith. The last time na ating pong pinag-aralan, yung last section ng chapter 17, we said an essential element to building a community of faith is dependent on God's power. Remember the section wherein the Amalekites attacked Israel, and we saw the first instance where we saw Joshua being mentioned. Joshua led the Israelites to fight the Amalekites physically in a hand-to-hand combat. But we also saw Moses interceding for the nation. Sabi natin, when Moses was raising his own hand up, and we discussed that this was a depiction of prayer, intercession. Nung nakataas ang kamay niya, the nation Israel was winning. Pero dahil sa pagod at sa katandaan niya, maybe that staff is quite heavy for his age. Pag nabababa niya yung staff, natatalo ang Israelites. And Aaron and Hur saw the pattern. And so what they did was, they took a stone so that Moses could sit on it. And then they took both ends of the staff and held it for him. Kaya nanalo ang bayang Israel. And we saw that was a beautiful picture, pointing to Jesus Christ. Joshua fought for them. Jesus was the greater and mightier warrior fighting for our cause. In fact, he fought for us and he won already. Moses was interceding for them. Jesus lives to intercede for us forevermore. And the beauty there is that unlike Moses, hindi na kailangan may maghawak pa ng kamay ni Kristo. Jesus never gets tired. He is God. And so that is an encouragement for us. A very great encouragement for us. Right? So as we continue our study on this wonderful book, we find ourselves in Exodus 18. Today we'll be looking at Exodus 18 verse 1 to 12 lang po muna. So what are the essential elements of building a community of faith? Dependent on God's power. And we saw that last time. This time, we would see gospel witness. Let's look at Exodus 18. I hope you have your Bibles with you. Kindly turn your Bibles to Exodus 18. And I'll be reading from chapter 18 from verse 1 to 12. And it reads, Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people. How the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home, along with her two sons. The name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in the foreign land. And the name of the other, Eliezer, for he said, the God of my father was my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. And when he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardships that had come upon them in the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel, in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord who had delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hands of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because in this affair they dealt arrogantly with the people, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. May God bless the reading of His word. So, ang nakita po natin is the section we're in. We would be reintroduced to Moses' father-in-law. Sa section na binasa natin, ano ang repeated word or words? We would hear Moses, Jethro, and yung relationship nila, father-in-law, numerous times. So this section highlights Jethro's relationship with Moses and the new faith that he found in the God of Israel. Sabi natin, yung noong unang section, inatake sila ng Amalekites, and now we see a Midianite. The Amalekites and the Midianites were closely related. As a Midianite, Jethro was a descendant of Abraham, kagaya ni Amalek. But we saw that there's a difference. Para ang ganda ng ginawa nung scripture, we see the Amalekites. We now see a Midianite. Both are related to Abraham. We saw the response of the Amalekites towards the Israelites. And now we would see the response of a Midianite to the chosen nation. Right? We would see the difference between how the Amalekites and this Midianite would relate to God's chosen nation. So let's look at verse 1 again. Jethro, the priest of Midian. See, Jethro is called by many names in Scripture. In Judges 4:11, he's referred to as Hobab, H-O-B-A-B, Hobab. Judges 4:11. Now Heber, the Kenite, had separated from the Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses. In Exodus 2:18, he is referred to as Reuel, right? Pero in Numbers 10, we read verse 29, and Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, right? So, sa Exodus 4:18 din, in the original language, he is referred to hindi Jethro, ibang spelling, Jethor, or Jether. So, and these different names have led people to question his authenticity. Totoo ba ang taong ito? But again, friends, these names may be referring to titles. Like, diba, yung Herod is a title. Caesar is a title. So, this may lead to us seeing a specific name and probably titles addressed to him. And it reads, Jethro heard what happened to the nation Israel. Every nomad in the peninsula would have heard by now yung ginawa ng Panginoong Diyos, yung breakaway ng Israel to Egypt. Remember, Egypt was a powerful nation then. And for you to break away from Egypt, aba, good news yun. Malaking balita yun. And not to mention the recent defeat of the Amalekites. Sabi natin, they were notorious road warriors. Right? So, yun yung narinig nila. Verse 2. Now, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home along with her two sons. The name of one is Gershom, and the name of the other, Eliezer. Now, the last time we read about Zipporah was in chapter 2. Remember, chapter 2, 21 to 22? Moses was content to dwell. Naalala niyo, tumakas si Moses and he fled to Midian. And verse 21 reads, he was content to dwell with a man, and he gave Moses his daughter, Zipporah. She gave birth to a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. So, that's the first time we read about Zipporah. In chapter 4, we read as well that Moses took Zipporah and his family to Egypt, right? And after that, it's only now that we see Zipporah. Ngayon lang nag-reappear si Zipporah. What happened? Look at verse 2 again. Sabi ngayon, Jethro had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home. He, referring to Moses. So we're being given some details, enough details to say that in between chapter 4 and now, Moses sent Zipporah home. Sabi nung ilan, naalala niyo di po ba, the last section of chapter 4, Zipporah was angry at Moses because he failed to circumcise his son, and Zipporah did that for him. And sabi nga lang, yung language is talagang galit si Zipporah. Sabi nga ba, she said, a bridegroom of blood. He referred to Moses. Some say, dahil daw doon, nag-away si Moses at Zipporah at pinauwi ni Moses si Zipporah. I beg to disagree. I mean, I don't think so. I think what happened was when they were about to face Pharaoh at alam ni Moses ano mangyayari at magiging maaring mapangari to sa family niya, he sent Zipporah and his sons home. Right? Hindi natin alam kung paano nangyari yon, but we know that he was sent, they were sent home. As we see in chapter 18, sinabi yan, he sent them away. So, sabi ni Stewart, Moses may have prearranged for Jethro upon leaving Midian, no, na papauwiin niya si Zipporah at yung kanyang dalawang anak pag ka-uwi niya ng Egypt, right? So, as he was about to confront Pharaoh. So, yung news na nag-spread na sa peninsula, and now we read about a wonderful reunion between Jethro and Moses. Sabi ko gano'n kanina, I don't think na nag-away si Moses at si Zipporah. Why did I say so? The mere presence of Jethro here with Zipporah, and he is bringing Zipporah and his grandkids back to Moses, proof na hindi sila nag-away, that they are in good terms, that they were sent away because of care and love and for them to be protected, right? Look at verse 2 to 4 again. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home, along with her two sons. The name of the one was Gershom, and the name of the other, Eliezer. Now, this is the first time that we would hear of the second son. Kasi the first mention of a son sa chapter 2 was Gershom. Si Gershom lang ang na-mention. Now we read Eliezer's name. This, in fact, is the first and only time that we would hear Eliezer as Moses' son being mentioned in Scripture. At dahil doon, marami nagtatanong, totoo ba talaga si Eliezer? Some were questioning Jethro if he's real. And now, some people were asking kung totoo ba si Eliezer. Now, if we would be very honest, it would be posing a problem for us as well, di ba? Bakit nga ganun? Bakit hindi na-mention kanina sa chapter 2 and chapter 4? And now, after a few chapters, we see another son being named here. At sabi natin, ito ang first and only time that we would hear of Eliezer. It's posing a problem, right? Totoo nga kaya siya. Pero friends, this the yung problema ng natin ngayon with Eliezer is actually proof that he is authentic. Proof siya ng historicity ni Eliezer. Why did I say that? Kasi kung fabricated ito, kung manufactured ito, di ba, dapat walang problema. Am I right? If this is fabricated, manufactured tradition and history, then this should not cause us to have this problem. Right? So I believe this is not a problem. Yung name ni Eleazar, si Gershom, ang name niya means I have been a sojourner. Perhaps telling us that this is what Moses felt when he was in Midian. And now, yung pangalan nung pangalawang son is Eleazar, which means God is my help, may tell us, may suggest to us a rekindling of faith in Moses' heart. Perhaps na himasmasan siya, right? And he saw that God would be his help. Let's continue reading as we see this wonderful family reunion. Jethro, verse 5. Moses' father-in-law came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God. And when he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. Right? Yung language tells us that Jethro sent an advance party, di ba? And when he sent word to Moses, sasabihin ng ilan, kung ito ay advance party, kung ito ay isang messenger, why is he speaking in the first person pronoun? I, your father-in-law. Kasi ganun po ang formalities ng ancient Near East. When you send someone, it is as if you are the one who's talking to the person you wanted to meet. So we see that here. Sabi nga nung messenger, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you. Right? So, ang tanong ko. So, Jethro is about to come and he's meeting Moses in the mountain of God. That's what we read here. That's in Mount Sinai. This may be the agreed meeting place for this reunion to happen. And was Moses excited? Let's read on. Look at verse 7. Moses went out. I think he is very excited to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. So, lumabas si Moses and he rushed out to meet Jethro. And when he saw him, he bowed down and kissed him. And this is beautiful. Did you notice the love and respect in these verses? Moses went out to Jethro, bowed down, and kissed him. Sa ancient Near East tradition po, that is how you treat one who is greater than you, one you respect and love. Jethro was a priest of Midian, so he is greater in stature. But more importantly, Jethro was the father-in-law, so he is greater in terms of relationship, with regards to their relationship. And this is such a beautiful picture of humility and respect from Moses. Nalala ko yung relationship ko sa aking father-in-law. I truly respected si Tatay, and he's a great man of faith. He loves playing the harmonica, and we miss him. He passed on to be with the Lord many years ago, but I surely miss si Tatay. So we see here a glimpse of a beautiful relationship between a man and his father-in-law, between Moses and Jethro. After the pleasantries, we read, and they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. And this is not the casual, how are you? Sa atin, di ba? Sa atin, sa kultura natin, pag nangamusta ka, are we really asking how people are doing? Or is it just mere formalities? Parang hi lang, how are you lang? Right? No, this is not a casual how are you. This is not mere formalities. They meant what they said. They wanted to know how they're doing. Here is genuine mutual care. They asked each other of their welfare and then went into the tent. A beautiful picture of Near East hospitality. Now, ito yung tanong, and some of you may ask this. Why did we not read Moses doing the same to his family? Diba? Asawa niya at mga anak niya. Ako, pag umalis ako ng matagal o nagkahiwalay kami o, ng isang araw nga lang or 1 week, diba? Pag nagkita kami ng family ko, I would kiss them. I would hug them. Why don't we read it here? I strongly believe that Moses was so excited to meet his wife and his kids. I strongly believe that he hugged them and he kissed them and he embraced them, diba? And he showed his love for them. And that is natural. That is expected. That is anticipated. Why don't we read it here? Because the focus of the story is more on the relationship between Moses and Jethro. Bakit? Because of the confession of Jethro later. Perhaps the story is focusing on Jethro because he is of a stature, that he is a public figure, he is a priest, a religious leader from another faith, right? His conversion would have been big news. That is why we see the camera, so to speak, is focusing, zooming into Moses and Jethro. Let's try to eavesdrop on some of their conversations. So they went in the tent now after the exchange of pleasantries. It must have been a lengthy conversation, but here summarized for us in verse 8. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sakes, all the hardships that had come upon them in the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. All. That may have included the initial visit to Pharaoh, the first plague, the second plague, the third plague. Now, I can imagine Jethro's eyes glowing as Moses was telling these stories to the fourth plague, fifth, sixth plague, seventh plague. And in every event, in every plague, there was a chorus that Jethro would hear, that they may know that I am the Lord. The eighth plague, the ninth plague, and the tenth. And all throughout, one name is repeated, Yahweh. Yahweh. Moses mentioned the parting of the Red Sea, the destruction of the Egyptian chariots and the Egyptian army. Moses told of God's provision and protection and his presence. In our context, friends, what we see here is that Moses was sharing the gospel. Notice the summary of the good news in verse 8. Before there was hardship, after there was deliverance. Again, Moses probably spent several hours recounting this whole story. Kinuwento niya, napakatagal siguro ng kwentuhang ito. God has brought us from death to life. As we would say it in our context. Friends, do you share the gospel? Friends, can you verbalize the gospel? It seems in the story that Jethro was skeptical of Moses' initial call and probably had questions. But now his questions were answered by the facts that he is hearing. And so we see Jethro rejoice in all that God had done. Verse 9, and Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel, and that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. But notice what happens next. Hindi lang nag-rejoice si Jethro. It's as if, because you can rejoice with other people when they share the good news to you. I'm happy for you that you found your peace. I'm happy for you that you're happy in your newfound faith. No, this is not just the casual, I'm happy for you. Look at verse 10. Jethro said, blessed be the Lord. And friends, look at your Bibles. It's spelled capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Blessed be Yahweh, the name that he heard numerous times as Moses was sharing what happened to Israel and what the Lord did, all that the Lord had done was relayed and told to Jethro. Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians." Sabi ni Jethro, "Praise the Lord who rescued you." My question is this: what moved Jethro into a burst of praise? What moved Jethro was this personal knowledge of Moses' story. He knew Moses before the Exodus, di ba? And now after the Exodus. Friends, can people see you after you experience salvation in Christ? Can they be excited for you and about what happened to you? And this amazed Jethro. He repeated the phrase, "From the power of the Egyptians, from the power of the Egyptians." Can people say, "Oh, I can see how you were rescued from the power of the evil one. Before you were like this, and now you're different." Jethro was amazed. Can we say the same thing about other people when they see you, when they talk about you? Jethro said, "Praise the Lord who rescued you, who saved you from the power of the Egyptians, the defeat of Pharaoh and the super power nation by Moses and the Israelites could only be explained by the miraculous salvation of Yahweh." Can they say just lang ang pwedeng gumawa niyan sa buhay ni Irwin? And I've heard people say that, not to lift myself up but to lift the Lord who saved me. And again, dear ones, in all honesty and humility, can you say the same? Can people say the same about you? You see, to build a community of faith, there should be gospel witness. Do you just call your pastors, your growth group leaders to share the gospel to people you know? Friends, it does not take a rocket scientist. Take the case of Moses. He just relayed what he experienced. Ano ba na experience niyo? You don't need to be a Bible scholar or a rocket scientist, as I was saying, to present the gospel. Just present to the people you know how God changed you, how God saved you. Jethro praised the Lord. Notice verse 11. "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because in this affair they dealt arrogantly with the people." Jethro said, "Praise the Lord, praise be to Yahweh." And based on this truth that he heard from Moses, and imagine the excitement of Moses when he was relaying to his father-in-law this great news. Are you excited? Can they really see good news? Good news ba talaga ang tangan-tangan nyo? I mean, they would know if it is indeed good news if how excited you are in presenting the gospel. Friends, it's the most wonderful news that they would hear. Naranasan mo yun, di ba? So, all you need to do is express it. I'm not saying for you to jump up and down. What I'm saying is that they should see how this is important to you. How happy you are. How content you are. After saying, "Praise be to Yahweh," Jethro is now making this awesome confession in verse 11. "Now I know that Yahweh is greater than all gods, because he did wonders when the Egyptians acted arrogantly against Israel." You know what? what we're reading is Old Testament. Now, I know, sabi ni Jethro, that is another way of saying a New Testament phrase. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know the one I have believed in. Or, the man born blind. I was blind and now I can see. That's the gospel here, friends. Jethro said, now I know who the real God is. What did Jesus say? John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. Jethro demonstrated that he had converted to faith in Yahweh. In Yahweh. How did I say so? Look at verse 12. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifice to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. He worshipped Yahweh. He worshipped Yahweh by bringing burnt offering. And this was understood to atone for past sins and to appeal for forgiveness and acceptance before God. He offered burnt offerings and he also offered sacrifices to God. And all this tells us of a genuine faith coming from a Midianite priest now worshiping the only true God, Yahweh. And we saw he ate a meal, a covenant meal, with other worshippers of Yahweh. And in the presence of Yahweh. This signifies a formal admission of Jethro into Israel. A formal confession of faith, worship and expression of faith, acceptance to the faith by fellow believers. Today, this story should encourage you. Keep spreading the good news to anyone, especially your family members. If you belong to a family wherein your father perhaps, or your mom, siblings perhaps, or your father-in-law, or mother-in-law, lolo or lola, hindi believer, God has placed you there and you're the only Christian, for a reason. Ano kaya? Take the hint from our study. We are to express our faith in excitement and joy, and that should be backed up with a changed life. Right? Let us spread the gospel. How? Be ready to testify God's grace of salvation. Let's spread the gospel lovingly. We saw how Moses treated his father-in-law, right? With respect and love. Let us spread the gospel to the nations. If you are having a hard time to verbalize your conversion, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's end, and we will end with this. We saw that Moses presented the gospel in a very powerful, personal, and joyous way. And because of that, with God's grace, Jethro believed in Yahweh, worshipped Yahweh, and identified with worshippers of Yahweh. You too can do the same. And again, if you cannot verbalize what we saw and read in chapter 18, verse 8, when Moses explained all that the Lord, all that Yahweh had done to them, how God saved them, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. What is the gospel? And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Moses told all their hardships, their bondage. This is our bondage. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are children of wrath. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. He gave you life. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Even the faith is given. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which Christ prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the gospel. What are essentials in the building up of the community faith? We saw last time, dependence on God's power is essential. Today, we saw the gospel, and gospel witness is essential in building a community faith. I hope you are encouraged. I hope you are motivated. I hope you know that you are in that family for a reason. Share the good news. Share the best news. Share the greatest news. Share the only news that they need to know. And may you share it with power. May you share it with passion. May you share it with conviction. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister, as you do so, as you try to do what Moses did. Share the gospel. I'll see you all next week as we continue on with the third element in building a community of faith. For now, let's pray and thank the Lord for what He has done. Lord, thank you for teaching us. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for saving us in spite of us. Thank you, Lord, that we were dead in our trespasses. There's nothing that we can do, but you have given us life. You gave us faith. And in this, Lord, we are truly grateful. We pray that you would give us boldness as well, Lord, to preach the gospel, to live out the gospel to the people whom you have given in our stewardship. Bless the remaining hours of the night. And we pray that you would be glorified in whatever things that we say, think, or do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. I'll see you all next week.